It's time for the North Posey Viking Coaches Show on 98.9 WPIW and NorthPoseyRadio.com. Tonight's show is brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, Crane Credit Union, Nick's Industrial, Expressway Chevrolet, GAF, Billy Sparkle and Shine, JT's Hardware, Posey Storage, Expressway Jeep, J.L. Hirsch & Company, Rugged Armor Linings, and Smith Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance.
Good evening and welcome into another edition of the North Posey Football Coaches Show, live from North Posey High School with head coach Waylon Schenck. I'm Jordan Fisher, and coach, the regular season is wrapped up. I'm sure it's not the way you quite wanted to end the regular season with a pair of losses against Heritage Hills and Mount Vernon, but it was a very high-scoring affair. Both offenses were really moving the ball on Friday night. Just couldn't seem to come up with the stops when you need them on defense.
Yeah, for sure. You know, that's what it came down to. You know, when you go on the road and sometimes it comes down to turnovers, and we turned the ball over three times, and I think they turned it over twice, and we just couldn't quite get over the hump. You know, we cut it to five, overcame a terrible start, but cut it down to five, gave ourselves a shot there late, and just couldn't get the stop at the right time, and that's part of it. I mean, that's part of it in a rivalry game. Somebody's got to make a big play, and they made more big plays than we did. And, you know, you go back to the start of the game when you spot a good team 21 points on the road. You know, it's nearly impossible to come back, and but I credit our kids. They kept fighting. You know, we were short a few guys, and those guys just kept fighting and kept fighting and kept fighting and didn't hang their heads. And, you know, we gave ourselves a shot in the fourth quarter, and that's all you can ask for after digging that hole.
Well, let's talk about that slow start, because I think it was one of those things where it was a bit of a, okay, they came to play tonight type of deal. They come out, they drive down the field, they score the touchdown on that 50-yard, really wide receiver screen that was just, I think, kind of blocked up well, and Hostetter did the rest. And then you guys go three and out on your first possession, and then suddenly you're down again defending your own red zone before another touchdown happens. What was the message after that second score happened before the fumble on the kickoff? What was the message to the team? Was it trying to just go out there and execute, or?
Well, unfortunately, like I told them about 20 minutes before the game started, we're going to get ran over. I saw how we warmed up. You know, I kind of saw the look in their eye that, you know, this week going through, you know, a fall break where they weren't real sure, you know, how much they wanted to be here. They kind of felt sorry for themselves. Everybody else is off on break, and we got to play. And what we should have been looking at is we get an opportunity to play. So we came in. You know, I was frustrated after warm-ups because it was a rivalry game, and I didn't feel like our guys were motivated like the other sideline was. And I told them, I said, guys, they're going to run over you, and there's nothing we're going to be able to do about it because you're not ready to play. And I was hoping that would wake them up, and it didn't. And we found ourselves in a 21-0 hole. You know, credit to Mount Vernon. They came out. They were ready to go. Coach Fisher did a great job getting his guys ready, put together a good drive. They came out and showed us a defense that we hadn't seen them play all year. You know, they played some two-man and basically said, you're not going to throw the ball. And it took us, you know, we had to adjust. I felt like we did that, but when we did that, we were down 21-0 and only ran three offensive plays. So, you know, credit them to get off to a good start. Our guys got to be better than that. Especially in a rivalry game like this where it means a lot. And I think we learned our lesson. And you know, I didn't know how we would respond down 21-0. You know, but I told them we can't score them all back now. Let's get seven and let's start chipping away at this thing. And I really didn't know how our guys were going to respond. You know, young team on the road against their county rival. And they did a good job. They really did. And you know, we were able to cut that thing to 18 at halftime. And I told them at halftime, you know, just go compete. That's all I asked for. I know we got some guys that are down. I know we've had to make some adjustments. All I ask is compete, compete, compete. And if you do that, I told them with 6 minutes left in the game, we're going to be down to score. If you'll compete with 6 minutes left in the game, we're down to score. And I looked at them after we cut it to five, and I said, I was wrong. There's 9.5 minutes left, and we're down to score. but, you know, credit Mount Vernon. They just kept coming back. They kept scoring. You know, they got the stop when they needed to on fourth down. That kind of sealed the game. And, you know, they were the better team Friday night.
So was there anybody in particular, because you can only do so much as a coach as far as trying to motivate the kids, but when they go down 21-0, who was anybody in particular that kind of led that charge kind of among the groups of boys?
You know, we don't have a vocal leader. And that's not a shot at our guys. We just don't have guys that have that personality that are loud and energetic. But I think the guy who kind of sparked us was Brett Beaker. I mean, Brett had some really tough runs, got us a couple first downs. We got in a rhythm. And then I think once our team realized that, hey, we can move the ball. I Dylan's out. We can still move the ball. And guys went to work. I thought Brody Fain did a great job of stepping up. I thought, you know, Camden Clower stepped up and had a couple touchdown catches in place of Dylan. Our most vocal leader is Lennox Stone, and he does everything he can. And he'll tell you it's not in his comfort zone to be that guy who talks, but he has kind of risen to the occasion and said, hey, nobody else is going to do it. I have to step up and be that guy. And he actually did a really good job of that Friday night, keeping our guys together, talk to our guys. The cool thing about it is I didn't see our guys quit on each other. I thought our guys fought. And like you said, if you'd have told me the way we started with 9 minutes left in the game, we're down five, I'd have taken it every time and taken our chances. And like I said, Mount Vernon was just the better team Friday night. And we got to learn from it and understand that you got to show up to play 48 minutes. And we preach to our guys all the time, winning high school football games is really hard. And if you don't put everything into it, you know, and prepare the way you're supposed to, you're not entitled to wins. And Friday night, I think we thought maybe we're just going to show up and win the game because we're supposed to, or people were telling them they were going to, but that's not the case. That's a really good Mount Vernon team. If you look at their losses on the season, it's, you know, Gibson Southern, Heritage Hills, and Southridge. Those are really good football teams, and the rest of their games have been pretty lopsided. So, you know, we knew coming into this year that Mount Vernon team was really good. And we weren't ready to play.
And, of course, there in the first quarter, towards the end of the first quarter, you have that injury with Seth Gentile where he was on the field for I don't know how long it was. But kind of what was going through your head at that moment whenever he was down and you went out there?
Man, you just hate to see anybody get hurt. You know, our kids, their kids, any kid in sports. And, you know, to know what Seth has been through with other injuries and knees and how he's rehabbed his body and he's worked himself back into things, man, your heart just goes out for him. So, you know, when you're standing there as a coach, you know, and you're a dad yourself, and I mean, you feel for the parents, you feel for the kid, you just want the pain to end for the kid. And, you know, my concern 100% at that time was all about him and nothing had to do with the game. And, you know, once we got him taken care of, you refocus and try to get your team going again. But, you know, when you're down there with the kid, it's way more important for the kid's health and the game just pauses. You don't even think about it. So, you know, our thoughts were with him and his parents and his family and just getting him taken care of.
Well, and certainly they got some good news. It was a lot better than what I think it looked like initially. Whenever you're getting stretchered off, it's never a good idea, yeah, or a good sign at least. But just a dislocated hip for Seth. So hopefully he'll get back to full strength sooner rather than later. But as you go on throughout that game, you talked about Brett Beaker really showing up and really toting the rock. I think you guys had him at 31 carries or something like that.
I think the official stats I looked at him last night, it was 29 carries for 235 yards. Brett's a player. You know, he's a player. And I told our staff on Saturday morning, if you'd have told me Jed Galvin graduated and Caden Malt got injured in the season and we'd have a kid that's over 1,200 yards rushing, I told you you're probably crazy, but you know, Brett's on pace, if he'll continues to play like he is, to rush for more yards than Jed Galvin did last year. And coming into the season, he was a wide receiver. So a lot of credit to that kid for just grinding, you know, and he's become a pretty tough runner. You know, early in the season, it was a lot of flash, a lot of speed, a lot of using his agility. But he's become a kid who can lower his shoulder now and get the tough yards, and he's learning to be a really good running back. And, you know, he's only sophomore, and to be, I mean, I think he's over 1,200 yards right now, and to be as talented he is, only sophomore, and a kid that is new to the position is pretty impressive.
So now going forward, of course, you're through the week nine, so the regular season's done, but I think there's been a clear kind of Achilles heel for your defense. It's been the run defense, and we saw that again with Shane Krieger. You guys have him here for 245 yards and four scores in the stats that were emailed out. What were they doing specifically up front that was making it difficult for you guys to get to Krieger before he got to that second level?
They were more physical than us at the point of attack, and they were playing with lower pad level, and that's something that's been a problem for us all year. The second part of that is when we did get to him, we didn't tackle him. You know, we watched film today, and, you know, his first five or six carries, we hit him at the line of scrimmage, and he ended up 5 or 6 yards. And we have to get better tackling. That's why I was late getting in here. We were outside tackling. We were practicing tackling, and we're gonna have to continue to do that on a daily basis, because a lot of times we were there, We had a guy shoot a gap and get him in the backfield or get him for 2 yards, but he ran through a lot of arm tackles. We left our feet a lot. And he's a tough runner. I mean, he's a tough runner behind a really big and physical offensive line. And we knew, you know, I think we talked last week and you know, talked to some other people, and they asked me, you know, what's it going to take to beat Mount Vernon? I said, we've got to keep them from running inside the tackles, and we didn't do that.
Well, let's go ahead and step away for a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the looming sectional matchup as you guys will be hosting Pike Central right here at North Posey High School. Don't go anywhere. The North Posey Football Coaches Show continues live right after this break.
The Posey County Co-op has proudly been supporting the communities we live in since 1927. With locations in Mount Vernon, Poseyville, Griffin, St. Wendell, Hopstott, and Evansville, the Posey County Co-op is your number one spot for Askro and DeKalb seeds and Purina feed products. The Posey County Co-op also has you covered with their new Posey County Workwear in Mount Vernon. The Posey County Co-op, your number one agricultural resource since 1927.
This is Justin Schmidt, Regional Manager for Crane Credit Union in Posey County. I want to remind you that Crane Credit Union is committed to serving Posey County. With three locations, familiar faces, and local decisions, we are able to offer cutting-edge products and services that you want, along with hometown feel that you deserve. When you become a member at Crane Credit Union, you're helping to support this community and the schools and organizations that matter to you. Visit us in person at one of our local branches in Poseyville, Mount Vernon, or St. Wendell, or online at cranecu.org to find out how easy it is to join. Crane Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
Expressway Chevrolet GMC is family-owned and located on the corner of Highway 62 and 69 in Mount Vernon, Indiana. The dealership was built on the principle that every vehicle buying experience should be easy but fun for the whole family. Our award-winning service department has 26 bays, 11 technicians, with 5 of them world-class. Sales is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Inventory is arriving daily, so remember to shop us before you shop anywhere else and visit us 24/7 at expresswaychevrolet.com, Mount Vernon, Indiana.
When you need to clear up some space at home, store things that matter the most, or need an area to keep your business's materials and inventory, turn to Posey Storage in Poseyville. They've got storage units to fit about any need, with four sizes to choose from, including 5x12, 10x12, 10x24, and extra large 12x35-foot units. Need room for a boat, RV, or camper? They have you covered with both indoor and outdoor options. And renting couldn't be any easier. Call them at 812-622-1626, rent online at PoseyStoragePV.com, or stop by and use a convenient rental kiosk on site. Plus, with security cameras around the property, your stuff stays protected. Posey Storage, your local storage solution at 128 North St. Francis Street in Poseyville.
Nick's Industrial is hiring. Voted one of Indiana's best places to work in manufacturing, Nick's Industrial is a metal fabrication, coatings, and gear and machining company located in Poseyville, Indiana. Are you looking for a stable career where the employer truly cares? At Nick's Industrial, we are always searching for talented team members to join our growing business. If you are interested in competitive pay and benefits, overtime opportunities, and working for a family-oriented company, we encourage you to apply today on our website, nicksindustrial.com.
When you're ready to tackle your next home improvement project, look no further than JT's Hardware, your one-stop shop on Main Street in Poseyville. JT's Hardware has everything you need to get the job done right. From tools to paint, plumbing to electrical, and fasteners to lumber, they've got you covered. And the staff is always ready to lend a helping hand and offer helpful advice. So don't wait. Head to JT's Hardware today and make your home improvement dreams a reality. JT's Hardware, your local partner in home improvement, located on Main Street in Poseyville.
You count on your car every day, so keep it looking sharp at Billy Sparkle and Shine in Poseyville. A clean car doesn't just turn heads, it feels better to drive. Billy's has a touchless Spot-O-Matic bay for a quick and easy wash, two self-serve bays if you're hands-on, and four powerful vacuums to freshen up your interior. If you're tackling summer bugs, the front bug sweep pass on the Ultimate Package can clean up that mess too. And for businesses, fleet accounts make regular cleanups a breeze. So stop by Billy Sparkle and Shine today at 140 North St. Francis Street in Poseyville and give your car the care it deserves.
Score 0% APR for up to 72 months on new 2025 and new 26 Ram 1500s at Expressway Jeep. New 25 Ram Night Edition 4x4 for $39,975. Save up to $16,000 during October Truckathon at Expressway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram in Mount Vernon.
Excludes tax, title, and 250 fee. Includes all applicable rebates and bonus cash. Includes 1500 Expressway Jeep owner loyalty. 0% APR for 60 months on new 2026 Ram 1500s in lieu of other rebates and incentives. With approved credit through Stellantis Financial Services. See dealer for details.
Since 1916, J.L. Hirsch Company Grocery and Department Store has been servicing the people of Posey County. Whether you're looking for clothing, jewelry, or stocking up on groceries, it's all at J.L. Hirsch Company. And don't forget about the renowned meat department with the best cuts of meat for miles around. Get your North Posey spirit wear at J.L. Hirsch as well. J.L. Hirsch Grocery and Department Store, a Posey County tradition for over 100 years. Open 8 until 5:30 Monday through Saturday. J.L. Hirsch Company on Main Street in Poseyville. When it's time for maintenance on your vehicle, make the right choice and visit Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center. No matter the make or model, they have the right parts at the right price. Let the knowledgeable staff help you find exactly what you need for the job. If you don't want to deal with the mess yourself, then let the Poseyville Service Center take care of you where there's no job too big. Stop in at 39 West Main Street in Poseyville or call 812-874-3113. Open Monday through Friday from 8 until 5 and Saturdays from 8 until noon. Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center, your one-stop shop for everything automotive.
If you're looking to breathe new life into your worn-out asphalt, you need Smith's Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance, a family-owned and operated business you can trust. Their team specializes in sealing and maintaining asphalt, making old driveways and parking lots look brand new. With fair prices and a commitment to quality, they're the ones you can rely on. Visit them on Facebook and give them a call for a free quote today. Call 812-228-9651 for Smith's Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance. Trust in family, trust in quality. Trust Smith's.
GAF of Mount Vernon, North America's premier roofing and waterproofing manufacturer, proudly supports Posey County football with the mission to protect what matters most. GAF builds unmatched strength, safety, and innovation, qualities that inspire champions on and off the field. GAF is honored to stand alongside our community and cheer on the Wildcats and Vikings players as they leave it all on the field this season. Here's to a safe, successful, and unforgettable season with pride and support from your friends at GAF.
Welcome back to the North Posey Football Coaches Show, live from North Posey High School with head coach Waylon Schenck. I'm Jordan Fisher, and now we move forward to postseason play, Sectional 39, starting this Friday for you guys. You'll be taking on the Pike Central Chargers, I believe a 6:30 p.m. kickoff here locally, right?
Yep.
So it'll be a 6:30 kickoff, and you've already faced the Chargers once earlier this season where you guys ended up winning handily 49-6. That was the game which Carter Schickel broke the single-game passing record for school record. Dylan Murphy tied the receiving touchdowns record. I guess mentioning Murphy there, is he expecting to be back for this coming week?
You know, we didn't know if he would play Friday or not. Mount Vernon, he suited up. We taped up his ankle. He went through warm-ups, and it was pretty obvious that he just couldn't push off, couldn't play it. So it wasn't worth it, you know, going into the sectional to put him out there and risk further injury. So, you know, we're hopeful that he'll be back. But at the same time, we need him 100% healthy, going forward. And if he's got to sit, then he'll have to sit again this week. But, our expectations is him to be out there, but, you know, we really probably won't know till Wednesday or Thursday.
So, of course, whenever you play a repeat opponent in the sectional, it's always a little bit different. Of course, I think you guys are still expecting to go out there and take care of business, especially being back on your home field for the opening round of sectionals. But when you play a second time like that, what makes it difficult for you as a coach to maybe try to, I don't know, maybe pick a different area that you need to focus on prior, instead of what you did in the first matchup?
You know, I think our biggest thing is to not overlook them. You know, when you're coming off a game where you're beating 49-6 and your kids have a tendency to think, we've already moved on the second round, and man, crazier things have happened. You know, when I was an offense coordinator down at Evansville Ballsy, we had a very similar situation. We were heavy favorites going in to play Pike Central, and we had a goal line stand on fourth down with no time left on the clock. And I mean, we stopped them by 6 inches. And we were a heavy, heavy favorite in that game. We just didn't show up to play. And, you know, you don't want to see that happen. If our guys show up and they have a great week of practice, which today was a good day, then we should win the game. But, you know, you're dealing with high school kids. We're still young. You know, we're still learning. They still have some really good players on the football team. Grant Boyd is as good as you're going to see from a running back standpoint in our conference. And we held him in check the first time. But we prepared really well for him, and we tackled really well that night. And if we tackle like we did last Friday, and we're not prepared, then it's going to be a game that they can steal from us. So I think the big key is just keeping these guys motivated, keeping these guys focused on the task at hand and not looking ahead.
I know it seems like a difficult question, but how do you go about doing that after you had a team that has lost back-to-back weeks, a defense that's really kind of been struggling? It's two very good opponents, but you're also still trying to rein that back in and get it right.
Well, I think,
sectionals.
I think that's, you don't want to lose games, but sometimes losing right for the sectional is not a bad thing because your kids are looking to you for answers. Like, hey, what we did didn't work. We've got to do something different. We got to get better. So they showed up today with the right attitude, worked really hard. We're really focused in the film session, asked good questions. I think their heads are in the right place right now. They didn't show up pouting. They didn't show up with their, making excuses. It was, okay, let's put that thing behind us. We got a sectional to win, and let's get to work. And I think we got a competitive group of kids who doesn't like to lose. And coming off, I think, our first back-to-back losses since, 2020. And so it's motivation for our guys. They want to get back on the winning side of things. And, again, I hate to lose the game Friday night, but we needed that added motivation going into the sectional that, hey, it's time to turn this thing on.
So how does this week of practice look for you as a coach? What's kind of the plan for throughout the week?
It's a little bit different because you got your JV guys. They didn't have a game today. Their last game was Saturday, so you get those guys in here, and you take different approaches with different groups of kids. Like our young guys, we want them to get as many reps doing fundamental things that are going to help them down the road, while still preparing our older guys. So, typically, honestly, you're going into a section a week, we don't tackle a whole lot, but where we've been tackling the last couple weeks and our fundamentals are breaking down, I've made the decision that we're going to tackle every day leading up to this week. And if we're fortunate enough to win this week, we're going to tackle every day leading up to solving. And I'm not talking physical tackling, one-on-one against each other going to the ground, but we're fortunate that we've been able to purchase the equipment we need, to tackle rings and tackle dummies and tackle the different things that we can work fundamentally and keep our kids safe at the same time. But we have to do those things. And then we've got to do some things schematically for situational football better. Whether that be, and Coach Fish has worked his tail off this weekend to put together, a goal line package that I think will help us match some beef in there when we're short yardage situations and things. We've done some things with some coverage package that's going to allow us to get real flexible on who we can bring pressure wise if we're struggling to stop the run with multiple people or with our base stuff. What can we do? And then from an offensive standpoint, we just want to get back in rhythm. We can get back in rhythm. And part of that last week was, Remy went down with Dylan out, and then Remy missing some significant time there at Mount Vernon, losing Seth. We were kind of scrambling a little bit personnel-wise. What do we have left in our package with the personnel we had? And we've got to be better in those situations to know, hey, if we're in these situations, here's what we can go to. And we found some things that worked Friday night and some guys that stepped up. But I think at this point you're just fine-tuning situational football because, as you progress in the tournament, you're going to have to get a goal line stand. You're going to have to convert on fourth and short. You're going to have to convert on third and long. So you get into the specifics of those type of things, and then you turn things over to Coach Neidig, who does a great job with our special teams, who is always looking for an advantage on, how can we win the field position thing? What can we do to take advantage of maybe something on Pike's punt team or their field goal team that we can steal a point here or possession there or some field position. And so our guys are working around the clock trying to give our kids an advantage. And our kids were really receptive to it today when we kind of introduced some things to them.
So when you have a repeat opponent like this with Pike Central, how much do you look at the previous matchup on film or how much do you compare it to other matchups where you've had throughout the season?
You look at what you did last time to kind of contain them, but then, they got some different personnel, we got some different personnel, and then you got to from there go say, okay, with what we have, what can we continue to do, and then what do we need to add? Do I expect Carter Schickel to go out and throw seven touchdown passes Friday night? No, probably not. Is he capable? Probably. We've been pretty good. I felt like we did a pretty good Friday night. We take what the defense gives us. you know, if they're going to stack the box and take try to take Brett away, we'll throw the ball. If they're going to, you know, drop everybody in coverage like we saw down at Forest Park, we're going to hand the Brett the ball a lot. So we'll kind of adjust to see what they do. We'll have a plan going in, and then you got to have plan B and adjust. But, yeah, at the same time, I think they'll probably throw some wrinkles at us that we didn't see the first time around. Maybe that they've been holding back that we haven't seen in film, and that's kind of the cat-and-mouse game you play when you get sectional time.
So with this being sectional week, of course, this is only the second home game you've had to open up a sectional since you've gotten here to North Posey. But is there anything different you guys do with, as a school as far as leading up into sectional week just to help, I don't know, get some added motivation from the fans or excitement for the week?
No, I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit, but we don't do any kind of pep session or anything unless, you know, we're fortunate to make it to the sectional final or something. We'll do some things. But our community's been great. Our student body and our staff's been really good. It's coming out supporting us all year, so we're not going to change that approach. We expect a pretty good crowd Friday night. The weather's going to be great. You know, it's a sectional game. It's here at Joe Jingleball Field, and I think we're going to have a beautiful night. I think we'll have a great turnout, and we're finally going to get some football weather. It's going to cool off, and, you know, these guys are looking forward to it, and I know the community always gets excited at this time of year.
Certainly is going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully a great turnout on Friday night. You'll be able to listen to that game right here on your home for Vikings football, 98.9 WPIW. We'll have kickoff at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Pre-game show will start around 6:15 with myself and Chris Moreland. Certainly hoping to see a good game and hopefully a Vikings win.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, and we hope everybody comes out, man. Appreciate you guys having us.
Appreciate you, Coach. So we'll talk to you again on Friday night. This has been the North Posey Football Coaches Show. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your Monday night.
You've been listening to the North Posey Viking Coaches Show on 98.9 WPIW and NorthPoseyRadio.com. This broadcast has been brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, Crane Credit Union, Nick's Industrial, Expressway Chevrolet, GAF, Billy Sparkle and Shine, JT's Hardware, Posey Storage, Expressway Jeep, JL Hirsch & Company, Rugged Armor Linings, and Smith Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance. Keep up to date with North Posey Sports on your home of the Vikings, 98.9 WPIW and PoseyCountyRadio.com.